Yes, my friends, the iPogo can do anything.
Anything?
Oh, yeah. If you want to comb your cat, there's an app for that. If you have to fix a flat, there's an app for that. Need a word that rhymes with that?
Map, rap, rap, rap.
Or a place to hang your hat? Got a chimp who likes to chat. There's an app, there's an app, there's an app for that.
Hello and welcome to the March 2013 episode of the Portland Afoot Commuting Podcast about buses, bikes, and low-car life in PDX. I'm Lillian, your producer.
And I'm Michael, Portland Afoot's editor. Each month, Lily and I bring you three practical bits of news that matter to Portlanders who get around without a car.
And we give it to you in the time that it takes the average Portlander to get to work. And this month, we're taking you on a long ride into the future.
To celebrate the upcoming May 4th launch of Portland Afoot's free mobile edition, we are devoting the full episode to one of the technologies that's transforming urban transportation, the smartphone app.
Whether you're improvising a trip plan, buying your transit fare, reserving a car share, or renting a bike from the garage of a stranger,
or reading your favorite local magazine,
smartphone technology is making low-car life a snap. Today we'll talk about how and why, and I will try not to get too excited about my favorite apps.
And after that, I'll share a transit tip of the month. Lily will share some of her favorite things people said on TriMet, and we will play a game about guessing what is and is not a real app.
The first ever edition of Boulder App. Enjoy listening.
If you need to rat-a-tat-tat, there's an app for that. You gotta practice singing scat.
Billy-dee-dop-de-dop-de-dop.
Wanna meet a boy named Matt?
Hi, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you.
Count to 10 in no time flat.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
There's an app, there's an app for that.
We are joined for this app edition by transit app specialist Alexis Grant, a longtime friend of Portland Afoot who has done a couple projects for the website involving creating guides for the best apps and the worst apps, and like we create a ranking system Alexis designed and have rated all of the transit apps for Android and Apple. It's awesome to have you here, Alexis.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think one thing that's useful that I talk to people about transit apps now and then, and people are all like, oh, what should I get? What's the best one? And the thing that I was really impressed that you brought to the table right when you started doing this was you separated the apps by category, and you separated like this kind of app is for this task and this kind of app is for that task. And so the two key categories that it seemed like you worked with were the arrival apps and the trip planning app.
Yeah, I think that's the really important distinction, because the trip planning apps are more like when you're thinking about what you want to do, and the arrival apps is like, where's my bus right now? What am I gonna do, you know, when the bus comes to the stop? So,
yeah. So, Alexis, do you want to explain sort of like an example of an arrival app and an example of a trip planning app?
Yeah, I mean, the trip planning app that I use all the time is Portland Transit for Android, and it has a lot of different features. You can look up the routes for TriMet, you can find all the stops, and of course, you know, the arrival part of it. All the trip planning apps also have arrival features, or most of them do. You know, you can find out when the next bus is coming to your stop. You can find out, you know, what the stop ID of your stop is. But you can also ask it, you know, how to get from one address to another, or from your current location to another location that you maybe saved or typed in.
So if all of the trip planning apps have arrival information, why would you use an app that doesn't have trip planning?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't. So.
Okay. Not all the trip planning apps have arrival information. There are some that don't, and those are really annoying because people don't, it's not an obviously intuitive difference. Like, for one thing,
the real-time information.
The trip planning
predicted time is not.
Right,
is
right.
Real-time.
So arrival information is like where the bus actually is, and whenever you're doing a trip plan, basically it is telling you where the bus is supposed to be because the math is too complicated otherwise.
Right. Yeah, no, I sometimes find that there's apps that are really good at what I like to call do one thing well.
Right.
And this is more when I'm not in Portland, but I have this issue of like, I really need this real-time information and I don't like have the number memorized to text TriMet. So I think that if I get really great arrival information in an app, I don't require it to have trip planning.
Right.
Or if it's the kind of trip that I do every day, like my commute, mm-hmm. I don't need a trip planner for,
right.
But my, you know, but I'm going to the other side of town, then I need help figuring out, like, the best way to get there. So, does the one that you use, it exist for iOS as well as Android, or just Android?
Only Android, okay. Yeah. I would say the best one, and Michael can probably speak to this a little more, although you have an Android as well, but you've tested the iPhone app as PDX Bus. That's the one everyone uses.
That's what I use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PDX Bus is really great. It can do a lot of stuff, and so it can be overwhelming. It's sort of text heavy, and there are a lot of options. But the number of stuff you can do with it once you figure out the interface is just remarkable.
Yeah, and I would say that's not really true of Portland Transit. It is pretty simple. You've got about 6 options from the main screen, and you're mostly going to use like either the trip planner or the like find a stop.
I would agree with
the arrivals.
One thing about Portland Transit is it doesn't have the new streetcar line, and it's been, you know,
really?
Quite a while since that was introduced.
I've noticed there it does, like, it's not very good at keeping up with like temporary detours. Like if a bus is on, you know, a long term detour, sometimes it takes a while for it to go back to the normal one after the detour is over. And
I don't even feel like TriMet's necessarily super awesome at that.
Right.
Yeah.
The information is current
on TriMet's website,
right.
But navigating and figuring out how that affects your trip can be really challenging.
And this, the writer of Portland Transit is not local anymore, so he kind of is maintaining the app as a courtesy.
That's, yeah.
And he is responsive if you write to him, but it definitely, I think it's affected the speed of the updates.
Right, that's interesting.
And the PDX Bus guy is local, as
right.
I understand it.
Yeah, yeah. He's great about pushing stuff out. Yeah, so I feel like on iPhone, if the PDX Bus is the best for trip planning. It also does arrivals well. If you want something that just does arrivals, there's an app called Arrival that is really beautiful and simple. My other tip for iPhone is this app called the Transit app, which is a national app. It's the only really good national app that I've seen of any kind. Often these are like sort of really cheap slapdash things, but this one called the Transit app, it's free unless you want to find more than the closest 3 stops for arrivals, so they ask you to pay for more than that, which is actually fine. You almost never need more than the closest 3 stops.
It's very strange.
Yeah,
that's
it is
very
strange.
Like,
yeah, yeah, it's a really interesting model, and it works for many cities, and it's really very well designed and usable, and does both arrivals and planning. So
maybe I should install that. I've never installed that.
I would recommend it.
Whenever I get to a new city, the first thing I do is Google on my phone.
Right, right.
Best transit apps, you know, LA, or best
transit apps.
San Francisco, and then just install them. So I have an absurd amount of out-of-town. I have more out-of-town transit apps on my phone than I do Portland apps. I actually deleted PDX Bus recently because I wanted space on my phone.
That's funny.
And I was like, I know all the buses that I need.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, and the other trip on Android that I want to cover, say for sure, is the best Android app is definitely Portland Transit. But there's a free version that is not that good, that doesn't have the most useful thing for me in that, which is geolocating yourself for arrivals. That's the thing that I use more than anything else. But the paid version costs like $6 or something. So if you're not $5. $5.
A little more than a day trip.
If you're not using it that much, if you're not a regular TriMet rider, then I would say it's not worth it.
Well, if you're not a regular TriMet rider, that's the time when I most need geolocation. Because I'm often willing when I'm in other cities, even if only there for like a couple days, to pay a couple bucks for a transit app because it affects my life so significantly, especially when traveling. And I'm like, I need the blue dot to tell me which side of the street I need to be on because I have no idea if my location is like north or south of where I'm going.
That's true. Good point.
And I sometimes have that problem in Portland because buses don't always come from the direction you expect, even when you know the city.
That's true.
If you're not used to the bus system, like when I first broke my wrist and I was taking the bus to Reed, I expected the bus to go east because Reed is east of where I was starting at. But no, it had to go through downtown first.
Right.
So I was standing on the wrong side of the street and then looking at the title of the bus at the stop and going, I don't think that's where I'm supposed to be going.
And I think it's interesting that you say that you use the geolocation feature a lot, and maybe it's just because my phone is pretty bad at geolocating. It's not the app, it's just my phone. But I hardly ever use it. I usually look up my stop ID.
Really?
And then I've got a lot of saved favorite stops where I can just click the button and see when the arrivals are.
Right. Yeah, favoriting stops is totally important in an app, I think.
Yeah.
So what are the, like, what are the absolutely required features for an app? And then what do you think are, like, the fun things or the helpful extra things?
Before we talk about that, I do want to call out one of the location and arrival apps for Android, which just tells you, you know, where you are and when the next bus is coming, and that's Pedextrian. Pedextrian for pedestrian
sort of.
So the name is kind of corny, but it's actually a really good app. It works really well. It's very stable. It locates you accurately. Got good arrivals. You have a map available. So definitely check that out if you're just looking for, like, when are my next buses.
So that'll find your location, and so it's just an arrival app.
Yeah. It finds you, and then it
location
you,
and arrival.
Yeah, and nearby
right.
stops.
Yeah, great. We've got a cheat sheet for the best four apps, and I'll link to that from the blog page. You can also see the link on our general app review page, which is pdx.be/app-reviews. If you go there, you'll see Alexis's extensive rating of many, many transit apps, and I think that's a pretty useful filter for the noise of the transit app world.
Yeah.
But Lily had a... Do you want to move to Lily's question about the features?
Yeah, I think that's a great
essential features.
So essential features, I think, are trip planning.
Yeah.
And arrival times, which is what
right.
we've kind of talked about. In other cities, some of the things that I've seen that I like but don't think are required are one page where I can see all of the alerts for the system.
Mm.
The DC Rider, which I was just in DC this past week, has a really great, like, you can just quickly click it and see, like, oh, the red line is screwed up again, like, and from this time to this time. And that's really useful because you didn't have to plan a trip to discover that. And if you know the
yeah.
system decently, often you automatically know what sort of diverting you need to do for yourself without having to go through the trip planning process, as long as you know what the alerts are. And it'll load faster, right, than having
mm-hmm.
to type in your whole address and everything. And I also really love, a lot of apps have it, a few of the San Francisco apps, Transporter, which is a San Francisco app, and... an LA app have tweets, like a tweet stream for things that are hashtagged for the transit agency. And that actually sometimes is better than even a news feed when it comes to delays and things, because there's a lot of delays that are not expected in the system. And so they can be pushed out a lot more quickly. And it's nice to be able to check them natively inside of your transit app rather than having to go over to your Twitter app and checking it out.
Because I've seen ones where it has the agency's Twitter feed inside the app. And
right.
That's also cool. So I think, you know, two of the features that I've seen, and they're not necessarily very common, but which I think are cool, is being able to see your trip on a map. And that's going to be, I think, even more useful, like Lily was saying, for the out-of-town transit apps where you're not familiar. But sometimes it's just really nice to see, like, where does it actually, like, maybe you didn't type in an exact address, maybe you put in a landmark. Where does it actually think you're going?
Right.
Are you really going to Kenton, or are you really kind of going, like, somewhere near Kenton?
Yeah, exactly.
And the other one that's cool is being able to make your phone into a flasher to get the attention of a bus driver at night.
Do you use that?
I do, you know, because sometimes when you're out in the rain at night, it's
yeah.
really dark.
Yeah, I've been blown past.
And if the stop doesn't have a light or anything.
Right.
Yeah, and TriMet used to give out the free flashlights for
no more.
No more.
No, out the window.
No, they're like, use your smartphone.
Right, right, right. Which actually brings us to the last thing I want to talk about the arrival apps, is does this create an uncomfortable digital divide between the haves and the have-nots? TriMet does have these stop IDs that you can use if you just have a text messaging phone. Not everybody has smartphones. TriMet spends a fair amount of energy trying to serve people with smartphones and increasingly makes the assumption that people have smartphones. Is this bad?
Well, that gives me a chance to talk about one of my favorite apps that's not a smartphone app, is the little app called DadNab.
DadNab.
Yeah. And it's a trip planning app that you can use through text messaging. So TriMet, you can text them, you know, the stop ID that texts you the next time. So that's like an arrival app for your texting. But this is like a trip planning app. You know, you can actually text it like a trip, and it'll text you back, like, when you can do it. And it's really good at identifying, like, landmarks, even. I was really impressed by it. So that's definitely one way to bridge that divide. And, you know, you have to be able to send and receive a lot of text messages, but I think, you know, many people, even who don't have smartphones, can do that.
Yeah, the other thing I want to say about smartphones in general is that half of adults under 35 who make less than $35,000 a year own a smartphone. It is really not as much of a rich versus poor thing as it was 3 years ago. Smartphone adoptions, in part because a lot of people who don't have a computer at home, they use a smartphone for internet access, and so it's more economical that way. It's a device that you can buy subsidized for no money down and pay a little more every month, but it's also a solution for a lot of low income people. So it's really not as big of a class divide as you think.
And there's also the people that aren't smartphone owners but are like iPod Touch owners, and that's, I think that it's an even greater number, because I know a lot of people who can't afford to have consistent internet access on their phone because that's very expensive, but iPod Touches work fine with Wi-Fi.
That's true.
And when I lived in Germany, where it's phone services are just very expensive, it's sort of like run by the mafia, I think, in Germany. but I had an iPod Touch, and I would make a point to go to bars with Wi-Fi when I needed to figure out when the last train was to get back. Hmm. And you'd always see, around like 1 a.m. on a weeknight, you'd see everybody like on their iPods on the Wi-Fi at the bar trying to figure out, which train was going to be the one for them to get take home. So I think that's important to remember too, is that like apps are not just reaching people that have them on their phones. They're also reaching people that have
Wi-Fi devices,
non-satellite devices,
tablets.
Right. Yeah. Great. Let's move along to TriMet's new Fare app, a totally different use of mobile technology. Lily, do you want to explain what's going on with that?
Yeah. So TriMet, which has been sort of lagging in the fare world for a while, TriMet was ahead of the curve in user information for a long time as a transit agency, but they were really lagging behind in their fares, which if you're a regular TriMet rider, I'm sure you've experienced the wonders of a broken fare machine.
Or the wonders of a torn off paper ticket as your primary fare device on the bus.
And even, the regular riders who end up at TriMet Tuesday at the courthouse because they failed, they put their, their little paper ticket in the wrong pocket and couldn't find it.
Right.
Or forgot their monthly pass.
Right. and so starting, I think, June or July.
May or June is what I've heard.
May or June, okay.
Yeah.
TriMet is rolling out, they're the first ever transit agency to have mobile fare.
First transit agency in the U.S. to use it for all of their fare. There's an agency that uses it there in Boston just for commuter rail.
Oh, okay.
But here it's for West, for Max, for everything.
Okay, great. And so both it's going to be both iOS and Android. So BlackBerry users, sorry. And you're going to be able to buy your fare on the phone, pay with credit or debit card. And I think it stores your information, so you're not going to have to keep inputting in with your tiny little touchscreen keyboard your credit card number. And you can buy everything up to monthly passes, right? So you can buy your regular fare. You can buy a one-day, seven-day fare. This is going to be great for out-of-towners.
Yes.
And then it displays a picture on the screen. And that's your ticket. And the picture is different day to day.
Right.
And so it's, now...
And it's animated.
Yeah, and it's animated. It's like a little picture of a Max, right?
I think it's a... Yeah, something like that.
And it has a stamp that shows, on the screen, it has the time that it expires. And you just show that to the fare inspector or the bus driver, which is pretty freaking awesome. This will conquer the... Oh, I would really like to take the bus home, but I have absolutely no cash on me.
Right, yeah.
Problem that has been a big issue.
Yeah.
How much economic value is that for all those people waiting in line to get change for the bus? Unlocked by the Globe Sherpa Transit app.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
I'm also really excited about...
It's going to save me when I forget my pass, for sure.
Yeah. I'm really excited about the company, too. It's a local startup that has built this close relationship with TriMet, started it as a PSU graduate class.
And Reed.
Anna Reedy.
Anna Reedy.
Is the lead developer.
Mm-hmm.
And the... Lily's a Reedy. They just got their Series B funding, $1 million. We'll keep their lights on and let them hire people while they approach their big launch. And once they have the launch, they'll be bringing in, I think, quite a bit of cash and trying to expand to other agencies. And I think that this is going to... I mean, if this app is solid, I think that there's no reason why they can't expand very quickly and make things better for transit riders the whole country over because of this thing that was locally developed.
Now they just need iPhone chargers in the Mac stops so that when your phone is dead and you're leaving the bar,
that's right.
You'll still be able to buy your fare.
See last month's tip of the month.
Yeah, no, this is so exciting to me. This is,
All right.
Yeah.
See, this is just the passion of an occasional transit user for this technology. That's who it's best for, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's, you know, I'm proud whenever I actually have an extra bus ticket in my wallet. Like, when I've managed to, like, have that one that I've hung on to. I still have some of the skinny TriMet tickets that were, like, the paper ones.
You can't even use them
that
anymore.
You can't even use them anymore. And I missed, like, every deadline that they... Because they kept extending the deadline to go trade them in.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that's how infrequently of a transit user I am. And then this summer when I broke my wrist, I actually got, like, a monthly pass, so...
Anything else on Globe Sherpa you want to add, Alexis?
No.
So they get, it's cost the same to the user, but the company gets 5 to 7% of the revenue that comes in through the app. So in Boston, 10% of fares are now being bought for this commuter rail system over this thing. Maybe it'll be a little bit lower than that because it's a different audience here in Portland, but that's it's quite a bit of money. And hopefully they can put it into continuing to grow up the company and serving other folks and... I think it'll be great. A company called Globe Sherpa.
So look out for that.
We've moved on to the sponsorship segment of the podcast. This month's podcast is sponsored by Clever Cycles, the city's leading lifestyle bike shop. They are conveniently located at 9th and Hawthorne. Clever Cycles has been an importer of European bike wisdom, including both the folding bike and the box bike, to Portland. And they're also one of the friendliest and most politically active shops in town. They're unafraid to put their mouths where their livelihoods are when it comes to making bikes a normal part of the wonderful Portland life. They sell many sorts of new bikes, and they have a repair shop, and they're hiring right now. So, double ad for Clever Cycles. You can serve them as a customer and as a laborer.
And they have some of the highest percentage of women mechanics in Portland. Yes, and they are the place to go if you have an extra cycle or you want a family-friendly child cycle. They were the first U.S. importer of the Bach Fiat's box bike.
Right.
So they're awesome. I love all our sponsors, but Clever Cycles is a particular fondness in my heart, so you should check them out.
They have great clothes, too, I think. They have, like, some really practical but very nice-looking
stuff. They refuse to carry any... clipless bike shoes or spandex.
Right, and that's the kind of shop it is.
Yeah.
Ninth and Hawthorne. Lily, do you want to talk about other kinds of non-transit apps? Evil apps?
Car apps.
Car apps. Which actually, ironically, don't actually support car life as much as low car life.
Yes. Car apps allow you to be spontaneous, which is what private car ownership has long allowed.
Right.
And it's what people say they miss the most when they, you know, switch to a car-like lifestyle. And so car sharing is trying to fill that. And with Zipcar, which was our first, what was previously Flexcar in the old school days, still it involved planning. Like, it allowed you to take the trip that you couldn't take otherwise on transit or bikes or walking, but it still required some amount of forethought and planning into it, especially because it's you have to bring it back around to where you started with it.
But you know, with the Zipcar app, you can do that planning while you're on the bus. And I know that because I did that recently.
That's a good point.
I was going to move, and I needed to do some errands before I was going to move. And I'm like, I wonder, you know, I should probably make a reservation for tomorrow because this is Saturday. Because cars are all gone on Saturday.
So even Zipcar has been mobilized by this mobile. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think that car sharing is actually kind of a pain in the butt without a smartphone these days.
We did an essay by our lifestyle columnist, Kathy Hasty, had a wonderful essay in which she described, she tried to use Car2Go for a week, and she doesn't own a smartphone, but she said she had fantasies of picking up Car2Go's off the street like drunken frat boys in a singles bar. Which I thought was a fantastic phrase, and I got the feeling that Kathy was more successful at picking up frat boys in her frat boy days than she was at Car2Go's without a smartphone. So this was a really interesting observation of how important a smartphone is to using Car2Go, these one-way pickup off the street sorts of blue and white cars.
Well, and when I stumble into Car2Go's sometimes, but like you think about the number of Car2Go's that I walk within a couple blocks of that without an app, I would have no idea that they're there. You know, because with walking, you're not...
Right.
You can't just walk circles around every block in your neighborhood until you find a card.
Right. You know? So these apps tell you where to go and pick up the card to go. So it's a whole, like, business model that's basically impossible if people don't have smartphones. And if they do have smartphones, I think it's really great. Alexis, disagreeing.
Yeah, I disagree, actually, because maybe it's the way that I use Car2Go, and I definitely was not using it as much as Kathy was during that week. But I've always just, I use the locator on the computer before I'm going to leave. And then if I need to, like, hold it for a while, I can do the reservation for 30 minutes and it'll hold it for you. And so I just haven't had much of a problem. And, like, I do sometimes walk by them. And my problem with them is actually that they're never where I want them. Like, if I need them, there's none there. So right. The smartphone app doesn't help you with that.
That's true. The next app will do that. It'll generate a car with a 3D printer. Lily, do you want to talk about Uber and Lyft? I have never quite wrapped my brain around Uber, but everybody is crazy about Uber in other cities.
What you need to understand about Uber...
This is another app.
So Uber is a lifestyle app more than any other car sharing app. And Uber is the kind of thing that's catering to a market of people that might own cars, but occasionally want a car service. So what Uber is allows you to... You're essentially buying kind of... for free, buying a membership into a car service.
You know, I call that radio cab.
Yes.
What's the difference?
So you're actually paying a little bit more for Uber than you would be paying for a cab. You're paying for a slice of cab service, but they know you by name. You get a text with the name of your driver and the rating review of your driver. They pull up exactly where you're at. It's black cab or a black car service. So there's no cab logos on it or anything. It's much nicer inside than a cab. And tip is included. Everything is paid for by your phone. So you don't have to worry about, you can feel fancy
because you
actually can just slide into the car, get greeted by name, get whisked away to wherever you're going, and then get out and there's no greater interaction than that. And then later you can go hit like 4 stars or 5 stars whatever for your driver.
Right.
It's very San Francisco.
Yeah, it's also very DC.
Yeah.
Those are the two places in which Uber has taken the world by storm. The thing about Uber is it has to be more expensive than a cab service in most cities because cab lobby tends to be very strong and there's a lot of regulations around cabs.
Mm-hmm.
But people are willing to pay for having, you know, very reliable, nice service, and service that's easy to use. So Uber now has two other kind of components to the app in San Francisco. There's Uber, which is the fancy service. There's UberX, which is a slightly cheaper, and they're smaller, and they're also really hard to get because everybody wants the cheaper version unless they have, like, four people that they're trying to bid in, and it's hard... It's harder to haul an UberX, so you might have to wait longer.
Hmm.
Now, San Francisco just added in Uber, you can actually haul a legitimate taxi with it.
Hmm.
And you get all the benefits of being able to see... You get to see a little tiny mock-up of the car on the screen and where they're at on a map.
Cool.
And it tells you the exact, like, wait time that you're going to have it's going to be there. So it's like... really awesome taxi service.
Right.
And it's actually a little bit cheaper. But you might have to wait longer to haul a taxi because I don't think every taxi cab service in town is hooked into Uber.
So this is their way of cozying up to the taxi people by saying, we're going to make your business more popular?
Yes. Well, and it was also... Here, Uber was very successful. It was sort of a ranking down. They introduced Uber before they introduced the UberX, and now they're introduced into taxi. They got people addicted to the fancy... car sharing, and now they're getting people just addicted to that method of hauling taxis. And if you are in San Francisco at a club when it gets out at 2:30 in the morning now, if there's just lines of Ubers, and it gets honestly confusing about which Uber is whose, you know, because everybody's paid for, you know, everybody's is linked to their phone, so you need to make sure you get the driver that is your driver.
Cool.
There's also so San Francisco is leading the force in a lot of these because they're just a very tech startup heavy town and they're really into interesting solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have Lyft spelled with a Y. It's very San Francisco. I'm about to get it. It gets even more San Francisco. This is a peer-to-peer taxi service. And the way they designate the cars is pink mustaches on the front of the cars.
What?
I'm not making this up.
It really sounds like you.
And Lyft is like hauling a Craigslist ride where everything is taken care of by the app. And so you're able to just be outside of a club and or bar or wherever you want to be and say, I want a ride. Hit the Lyft thing, and then someone that's just driving around trying to pay off their car by being a Lyft driver gets a ping saying someone nearby wants a ride. They pull up. You notice them by the fact that they have a hot pink mustache on the front of their car. You climb into the car. The app has a suggested donation level because technically the taxi lobby would never be okay with non-official taxi drivers driving their own cars around. So instead, it's a suggested donation based on the length of your drive.
Really?
Calibrated by, like, average donations of other users. It's not really a donation. It is definitely an expected part of the payment of the system. And right. You can pay through the mobile app, and everything's handled.
Hmm.
You don't have to deal with handing over cash. As someone who used to catch a lot of Craigslist rides, this is...
Yeah, so I can't use this in Portland either. Uber's not in Portland. Is Lyft?
And Lyft are probably never going to come to Portland.
Well, Uber's definitely not coming to Portland for a long time.
Yeah. I don't think that we should have high hopes of either of these services coming to Portland. With Uber, I think, I don't think we're really... Rich. I mean, I think that we have such a miserable taxi service as part of support for car-free lifestyle in Portland. Everybody I know that lives in cities that have good taxis come to Portland and they're like, what do you mean I need to call an hour and a half before I need my taxi, you know, to get out of the bar? Yeah, that's Portland for you.
Right.
So I think that there is a need for better taxi service, but I also think because of our taxi lobby, there's no way we're going to get either of these anytime soon.
Yeah.
So
it's really a bummer because I really feel like that's an area, you know, people sometimes say about Car2Go, it's like a self-driving taxi, and that made me understand it a little better, actually, especially why it's so expensive. But we really need a better, like, actual taxi service here.
Yeah, as someone who really abysmally hates to even contemplate driving a car, I'm far more likely to use one of these services than I am.
Yeah.
So
let's move along to the tip of the month, and actually Alexis is going to guest star as the tip of the month person. So Alexis Grant, take it away.
So our transit tip of the month is about transit apps, as you might expect. A feature of these wonderful trip planning apps that most people don't really know about or don't really use is that you can actually save your favorite trips in a lot of them. I think PDX Bus and Portland Transit for sure. And what it does is it saves the locations and, like, maybe I think your walk distance and some, you know, that, but it doesn't save the time. So you can always just use the trip later, and then you don't have to type everything in. You know, you just click the trip, and then it just plans it for you for, like, you know, today at the time, or you can change your times before you plan it. And it's just really handy if you have a trip that you make, not super often, but often enough to make it worth saving.
Awesome. Tip of the month, save trips on your app. Lily, do you have any transit tweets to read to us?
I do. So Dan Christensen says, overheard on my TriMet bus, I'm a Native American. I shouldn't have to pay for a bus. I'm a Viking. You should all be dead. Bart Diaries, sorry to make it a non-TriMet one, but it's fitting with our San Francisco talk. Emma Dot Bergman, technically every zoo is a petting zoo if you're not a pansy. Most baller thing ever said on a BART train, ever. Once again, Dan Christensen, he's been on a roll again. Overheard on my TriMet bus. Ronnie, give me that fake pass, said right behind me. Portland's brightest. Oh dear. Remember, Dan's a bus driver.
Right.
Brockman of the Sprocket podcast, our friends. Riding a new TriMet hybrid bus. Every time we move forward, my butt experiences a ghost sensation from the engine that's not rumbling. And Gina Kirchner, another failed pickup line, ride me like TriMet. So that's a last option / when I'm drunk / for free.
Oh. All right. So Only on the Bus will be back next month, but for this month, we're going to do something different. We're going to play the world's first game of Balder app that we know of. we're going to describe some apps that may or may not exist, and then guess whether or not they actually exist.
My app is an app where you can see not just your transit departures, but also where the nearest zip cars and cars to go are.
Where the nearest zip cars and cars to go are. I don't think that's real.
I think it is real.
Really?
Or it's about to be real.
Is it?
Yeah. What? So this is the transit board. It's not strictly an app, since it kind of takes over your tablet.
Oh, yeah.
But the transit board is a wonderful program by Portland Transport, Chris Smith, that shows next arrivals for the nearby stops, and he's working on integrating the car sharing services.
That's true.
Okay, I love Chris Smith, and I love the awesome technology he makes, but we need to get a naming committee for him.
Yeah, that's true. Chris, if you're listening, critique.
We love you, but we need to get a marketing person on your team. Transit board and transit appliance. Two not as sexy as they could be names.
I think he's aware of this.
Okay. Just call me up next time, Chris Smith. I'll help you out. Okay, so my app is Car to Cupid, which is a car to go app that also is linked in with OkCupid. So it sends you a push notification every time someone that's a high match for you on OkCupid is nearby, or a car to go is nearby that can take you to someone that's a high match in another neighborhood.
Thus exploiting, as I think was mentioned on a previous podcast, the inherent, like, booty call nature of the car to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think it would be better, actually, if it told you that someone was in a car to go who was a high match and they were coming your way.
Yeah, I think there might be some, like...
That would be like the red gold alert, do not override the mute button. Right, yes. That, though, certainly would be wonderful. Does not exist yet, only in the future.
It's a delightful fantasy.
Yes. Not as good as I still really want the OkCupid to be integrated with the Square payment app, because the baristas see your name and your picture when you pay with your phone with Square.
So you just plug right in the OkCupid app, just in case the barista has like a third option. That'd be an extra bonus for being a barista, right?
Right.
Because you have this parade of, you know.
Well, and it would get over the awkwardness of hitting on the barista, so they can rate you on OkCupid, and then you can know that you're not just like the creepy customer that thinks their barista is flirting with them when really they're just trying to get a tip out of you. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
Good point. Here's mine. It's a crowdsourced transit planning app where instead of figuring out where the bus is based on the agency's location, it works whether or not the agency tells people where the bus is, because it gets people to open up their phones and enter their location, and then figures out not only where the bus is, but how fast the bus is moving and whether there are two bikes on the front of it yet, because people are like entering that information voluntarily as part of the participation in the app to create this like crowdsourced data of where every bus is.
I think that this shows your faith in humanity, and this is not real.
I think it better be real.
It is real. This app is called Move It. It was developed in Tel Aviv for the Tel Aviv transit system, which didn't have arrival stuff, and it was built on the transit trip planner that TriMet developed at open source basis a couple years ago. So it's one of the first applications and has just come to the United States recently.
Is it successful in Tel Aviv?
Yeah, it's based on the open trip planner, and it's very successful in Tel Aviv. And the reason is that it makes it very simple to do it, and it's a very quick, like, rate yourself. The only part I made up was whether it had two bikes in the front. So they haven't gotten that in, because Tel Aviv is not a bikey city yet, but when it comes to Portland in mass, we'll fix that.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
I have one last note to make about Car2Go as an app. They sent out a survey that was like, why are you not using Car2Go more?
Really?
Because apparently, if you don't use it all the time, you're not
using
it.
They don't send me that survey.
You must be using it enough. So, and they had all these options of like, why aren't you using Car2Go more? And prefer public transit was on there, and prefer my own car was on there. No preferred bike. And I was like, Car2Go.
This
Portland,
is why. This is why you don't understand.
You should talk to my friend that works at Car2Go.
I tweeted at them.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, this is the thing about Car2Go. Ultimately, though they're a more interesting and revolutionary model than Zipcar, they are a company that really is a car company. It's owned by Daimler, and the people who run it used to be working in the trucking business, and They're running it as a business, but not as a social transformation thing. That's right, they're not.
Yeah. So, Cardigo, if you want to hire me to reach the Portland market, hire Lily, hashtag. Okay. And that's our show.
That's our show.
You can subscribe to the show at pdx.be/podcast and send us any comments you have at podcast@portlandafoot.org.
You can spread the word about the show by searching for Portland Foot on iTunes and leaving a review. And thank you so much for the people who did. We actually got a few people recently who went in and said wonderful things. Thank you guys so much. It's really nice. You can sign up for our forthcoming mobile phone magazine at portlandafoot.org.
You can follow me at Anomalily on Twitter. Well, and thank you, Alexis, for being on the show.
Yes. And you can follow Portland Afoot on Twitter and Facebook, too. I'm Michael Anderson, your editor.
I'm Lillian Kerbake, your producer. Thanks for listening, and remember to exit through the back.
Pass on the left.
And don't forget to thank your bus driver.
Driver man, don't be slow, 'cause I got somewhere I gotta go. Say, hey, Mr. Driver man.